John 8, look at verse 31 and 32. There were some people that believed on him whenever he was speaking there. And it's Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." God has something more to offer believers than just being a Christian. He has discipleship, being discipled. And that's what the Christian life really is. It's a life. Those that go on beyond just being a Christian, you know, believers, everybody that believes on Jesus goes to heaven. I'm not talking about they won't go to heaven, but God has more for this life.
Yes, sir.
And what really his plan is, if you read the word closely, his plan is that we not just be a Christian, but be under discipleship.
Yes.
Be discipled. Remember Jesus, the Bible said, I've been writing some things on the blog about praying for our nation. It hasn't come out yet, but, well, one of them, maybe. I don't know which ones I've came out, but anyway, you know, there in 1 Timothy, it talks about praying for the kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, because God will have all men to be saved,
yes.
Notice, and.
Yep.
Somebody said, I'm saved, I'm in God's plan. Wait, there's more to the plan.
Yeah.
Saved and
yes.
Come into the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Amen. John, you look at the 10th chapter of John. Jesus talks about he is the good shepherd and so forth. And he that believes on me, he'll go in and out. He'll be saved and go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
Saved and. You ought to look up saved and all through the Bible, because there's more to God's plan than just being saved. Saved and being filled with the Spirit. Saved and healed. Saved and, saved and, saved and, saved and. Saved and walking in holiness. There's so many things. But here he wants us, that's what he describes this life. He wants us to go on. You know, that's what he's talking about. To these people that believed on him, he was rejoicing with them and so forth. But he said, there's something more. Continue in my word. Continue in what the word says. And how many of you know, John 12 talks about, as we walk in the light, more light will come. And I don't have time to get into all that. But so this life is a life of discipleship. It's a life of being trained, a life of learning. You know, just... You know, I don't mean just textbook learning. I'm talking about, a working knowledge, gaining a working knowledge and becoming accustomed to a new way of living. What do I mean a new way of living? Living by faith. Walking by faith, not by sight. A new way of thinking. Taking the Word of God and replacing our old way of thinking with the Word of God.
Amen.
That's not an event that happens when you get born again. That's something that you and I have to walk on and got with God, and it happens progressively. And none of us have arrived walking by faith. None of us have arrived renewing our minds. It's a process, and it'll be a process till we see Jesus. But that's okay with me, because the more I walk in the truth, the more free I am. That's what he said. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Praise the Lord. Where I like the thought of where I've been being tripped up, I can get past that and not be tripped up anymore. Where I used to believe lies, where I used to take offense, where I used to take on thoughts of worry, where I used to, I like the thought of not being like that anymore. Woo, man. I'm freer now than I used to be. I remember one time, quite a number of years ago, I said, Lord, I'm where I'm living already is way beyond what, as a kid, where I ever imagined I could live.
Yeah.
I'm talking about in freedom in my mind and, you know, the lust of the flesh, not just raking me and defeating me. And I'm just talking about in all arenas of life.
Yes, sir.
Woo, man, if you've been bound and now you're free, free's better. If you don't know which one, I've been in both of them. Only people that have been in both of them are qualified to answer which one's better. And free is better. If you've never been free from worry, never been free from the lust of the flesh, I'm not saying, it's impossible for me to sin. You understand, we got to stay on top of these things. But then you aren't qualified to say which one's better.
That's right.
Anybody that's been in both of them can say. Amen. But anyway, I wanted you to see that there's more to this Christian life than just being a Christian. It's walking on and knowing the Lord and learning the Word and becoming accustomed to doing the Word. Now, go over to 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 27, a verse you're familiar with. I'm really kind of drawn lately to some of the young ones, new ones. And Brother Hagin said, I made a statement of this somebody earlier, that a good minister, he'll put the young Christians, the baby Christians first. In other words, they won't just go beyond them and leave them. And they're like, I don't know what they're even saying. But, you know, it's good for all of us. Well, these truths are good for all of us. It's good to go back and remind ourselves. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him. Now, the context is, if you read all the verses before this, he talks about in these last days, there are many antichrists that will arise. Verse 18, little children, in the last time, as you have heard, the antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby you know that it shall, you know that it is the last days, and so forth and so on. And then verse number 26, these things I have written unto them concerning them that seduce you. That's the biggest characteristic of the antichrist is deception. Seducing is another word for deception. We might think of it as seducing somebody sexually, and of course that's seduction, all right. Seduction, whatever the word is. really he's talking about deception.
Yes, sir.
The antichrist will be a liar because he'll be full of the devil, who is the chief of lies. So first that's the context here, and he said, but aren't you glad? The anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you don't need any man to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and not a lie. Amen. Even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Amen. So the context is the lying, deceiving voices in the world, the antichrist spirit that's, you know. How many of you know the tribulation? Somebody made a statement, and I heard it. I don't know if I can quote it exactly right now, but The coming events in this world don't just spring on the world just like they pop into the earth one day. You know, like the Antichrist showing up on the scene. He won't just pop in the world. Everything was going fine. He just pops in. No, and the statement was concerning some of these things that future events cast their shadow ahead of themselves. I'm quoting it similar to what they said, but that's the way these things are. You can see things coming before they actually arise or actually arrive. Anybody see some of that stuff trying to get in the world? But how many of you know the spirit of truth in us, the teacher on the inside of us, the anointing on the inside of us, if we'll learn to listen and we'll learn not to override him, he'll teach us. He'll say, that's not a right spirit. You'll be watching the news. You'll be hearing people talk or doing things. And you know, at first you think, well, that's pretty cool. And then you're like, something isn't right. I'm not preaching because people take me wrong if they're new, maybe. I'm not preaching, you know, well, you shouldn't be listening to anybody but me. That's not what I'm talking about. Like today, I don't even know if he's Baptist. I don't know what denomination he is. You know, a lot of times it doesn't really matter. I mean, if he's the first from the first synagogue of Jerusalem and he's preaching the truth, I don't care.
Yeah. Amen.
But this is a good Christian minister. I don't even know what denomination he is. He's got a lot of good things. I like listening to him sometimes. Amen. I don't believe he's preaching everything that we see from the Word about the move of the Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there's a lot of good things. How many of you know you can receive from a lot of people? You know, there needs to be somebody that really a place where you're really connected into the body, and you filter what they say through where God's connected you, not filter what the pastor says through what they say. Because if God's connected you someplace where that's your home church and that's where you belong, that's your primary feeding. That's your primary feeding. But that doesn't mean nobody else has anything to say, because they do. Bible said we can't say to the rest of the body, we have no need of you. That's wrong. Just wrong thinking, wrong believing. But that all being said, I'm trying to, anyway, so, but there are seducing spirits out there. And there are things you'll hear sometimes, it's like, something isn't right. I remember a minister came up years ago onto the scene, and they claimed he had a great healing ministry, and things were supposed to be happening. And I watched him, because I started hearing about him, I watched him some, and I kept saying, there's something not right. There's something not right. And I told some people here, I mean, not just people, you know, talking about his ministry. So I said, there's something not right. It wasn't, how long was it? A year? Something like that. It came out that he had an adulterous affair or something, and he was living in sin. Plus, he was the words of knowledge he was getting. Somebody was at the back door asking people what they had when they came in the door and funneling it to him.
Wow,
it's all fraud.
Not okay. Yeah. Yeah, fraud.
I said it was all fraud.
Yes,
see, your spirit knows those things.
Sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm not trying to make you afraid of ministers tonight. I'm just simply saying this anointing that's in you will teach you. He'll teach you. Some of my favorite words in the Bible, the same anointing teaches you. Some of my favorite words in the Bible. I go back to that. I've had this anointing in me, teaching me, save me heartache.
Yes.
Save me trouble.
Yes.
Protect me, keep me from problems, and all kinds of stuff. It's a daily thing almost. I mean, everything from you're getting ready to buy something and you're like, just not there to buy it. You got the money? You could have bought three of them. And not even miss the money. It's not about that. It's just something. And within a week, somebody blesses you with it and gives it to you. Well, that's the anointing teaching you. I've had unction that doors weren't locked that I thought were locked. And I go check them. Oh, my goodness. Who opened that? Who unlocked that?
Come on. Yes, sir.
I could go on and on. It's just almost a daily thing. Yeah. Just something just rises up out of you. Someone.
Yes, sir. Someone.
Teaching you. Teaching you. Teaching you. Teaching you. Teaching you. Teaching you. Why? Because he's discipling you. Guiding you into all truth. Well, what's a door being locked got to do with the truth? Well, I'll tell you what it has to do with the truth. I'm a tither, and the devourer is rebuked for my sake. You know? The anointing will do all sorts of things that you might think is not anything to do with the word, but it does.
Yes, sir.
It applies. God's interested in your whole life, every aspect of your life. Anyway, we got to move on. So the anointing, you have the promise that the anointing will teach you.
Yes.
You need to claim that. The anointing. See, the anointing is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not talking here about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He's talking, notice the first word, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. This is what came into you when you were born again.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit came into you and he has a ministry. He's not just a hitchhiker,
right.
Not just going along for the ride, twiddling his thumbs until the rapture, and then he'll zap you and you'll go up.
Come on.
No, he's got a ministry. He's a teacher. He's a guide. He's a comforter. He's a counselor.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, he'll teach you. He'll guide you right into divine healing and divine health. He'll teach you to diet right. I mean, you know what I mean by diet right? Eat right things. You don't have to ask somebody.
That's right.
I mean, you might be led by the teacher to look at something that somebody has studied, but you don't have to say, well, what do you do? Well, you be led. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you.
Amen.
We've been led at times to share things with certain people, and Pastor Debbie has led a couple of times to share things. It's just been amazing, the transformation in people's lives. But see, that's a leading. That's the teacher. That's the teacher. Hallelujah. I don't know. I'm trying to move on here. But you have the promise that the anointing will teach you. Now, you and my job is to be a good student. Student of the word? Yes, but that's not exactly what I said. Student of the teacher. The teacher will teach the word.
Amen.
He'll guide you right into faith. Brother Hagin was laying on his deathbed. Basically, it was his deathbed as a teenager. And, well, he wasn't saved, but then, you know, he had the experience of dying and going to hell. And then he came up, God, I believe, you know. Yeah. I've been baptized in water. I belong to the church, you know. Yeah. And then he got born again, coming up, got born again, received Jesus as Savior, Lord. And then he wasn't afraid to die anymore. But he said something, he said, it was really someone, kept letting me know, that as soon as I got born again, kept letting me know, I don't have to die at this early age.
Amen.
What was he, 17, 16? It was the teacher.
Yes.
It was the teacher. The anointing which teaches him all things. He said it would rise up in his heart. He said the very next day, as soon as he got born again, the very next day, he said this knowing came into his spirit. He didn't have to die at that early age. Well, somebody said, well, we just don't know. Well, he proved out he didn't have to die at that early age. So he said, but then his mind would kick in. This is the battle. This is the battle in every Christian's life. I almost cringe at how little some pastors teach their people to follow their heart, follow the inner witness. Because if you're not taught that, you're going to get kicked from pillar to post. You're gonna give opportunity to the devil, because the teacher will guide you into all truth that will make you free. Which, in other words, close the doors to the devil. He won't have near the access. You'll think right about things. You won't open the door by wrong thinking, and just life just gets sweet. I didn't say we won't have any tests and trials. I just simply say you'll have the answers, because you're looking to the one who's got all the answers. Not because we're so smart, it's because the one that's in us is smart. I'm telling you, he's brilliant. Brilliant. You should be running circles around everybody you graduated from high school with. Unless they're walking in the light. But if they're not walking in the light, I don't care how many degrees, X, Y, Z.
Thank you. Yeah.
LMP, whatever, I don't know. MD, ZZZ. PhD.
Yeah.
Put them all on there.
Yeah.
You ought to pass them all up.
Yeah.
Not preaching against education if God tells you to get an education. But my point is, you can have all that and be dumb.
Yeah. Come on. It's true. It's true.
When it just comes to practical wisdom, doing the right things. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to 3-part series, because I ain't getting nowhere on my notes. But we have to learn to be a good student.
Yes.
Brother Hagin said the Spirit of God would tell him the very next day he was born again, and he didn't have to die at that age. And then he said his mind would kick in, and he would remember, but the doctor said. Nobody in this condition has lived past the age was a 16 or 17. It's one of those 16. And so his mind would kick in, and he didn't have any knowledge of any way that it could happen. I mean, medical science doesn't even know how it could happen.
Yeah.
Well, see, God is not limited by.
Come on now. Come on now.
All this. We don't know. We don't have the answer. We can't. We don't have the medicine. We don't. If you know in here, the teacher keeps saying, this is the way it needs to be. This is the way it will be. This is the way it can be. Then don't throw that away, because your mind is trying to figure that out. Hold to it. You got a dream? Hold to it. But I don't know. Here's how to find out how. Because when you're praying in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. And you're drawing. What is a mystery? It's just simply hidden wisdom. It's not something that you can't know. It's something that's hidden. And only those who have the teacher, the Holy Ghost, can know.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody said, explain how you're walking where you're walking, Pastor Jay. I really can't. I could give you a head full of knowledge. But you're going to have to walk it out yourself. Because what I'm walking in is not just head knowledge, not just something I've logged in my brain. I know it down in here. I didn't go to school to learn it, although I went to Bible school. But I started practicing it and getting experiential knowledge.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. And that's much, always, a working knowledge is always greater than head knowledge.
Yes, sir.
You can teach a parrot to quote the word. Doesn't mean he's got any sense. Doesn't mean he knows how to do it. So what God wants to do is teach us in skill. In all the affairs of life, he's trying to teach us skill. He's trying to make us sharp. He's trying to make us cutting edge, top notch, cream of the crop citizens, best succeeders in all areas, marriage, raising kids, sound mind, making financial decisions. I mean, walking by faith, walking in love, not being lured by the temptations of the flesh. You could go on and on where he's going to teach you. Amen. He's teaching me all the time how to talk to Pastor Debbie. You know, in marriage, you got to know how to talk to your spouse and when to talk to her and when it's not a good time and when it is a good time. You want me to say that again, guys?
Come on now.
Because there's times it's just not a good time. And I've learned when's not a good time. So we go out for ice cream and I don't say a word. Yeah, but the Lord said it. I know, but it's just, I'm just being like Jesus. He said, there's many things I want to say, but you can't handle them now. I'm not saying I'm saying she's probably doing the same thing. You hear me? See, you took something I said wrong. She's probably doing the same thing.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying.
When she gets home, ask her. She's probably doing the same thing.
Yes, sir.
See, ain't none of us above what I'm talking about. If you really had a hanky, I'd come over here and preach. Hey, all right, there you go. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, husbands and wives know what I'm talking about. So, you think you're getting one on me. I'm not... falling for your joke. Now, so he's trying to help us in all the affairs of life. How many of you know he's on the job? The anointing teaches you. He's in there. He's on the job. He's doing that. You don't have to pray, Lord, teach me. You don't have to pray that. He already is. Did you catch that? He already is. But I don't know. Well, your head might not. And you might be talking out of your head, and then your head might not. Your head's like all of our head. It's limited. Our knowledge is limited. We don't know everything. He's not talking about in our head, but the teacher's not in our head. He's in our spirit. And he knows. He knows. And when he starts talking, don't go, no. Or it's not even talking sometimes. It's just a knowing. Just a witness. Oh, that can't be. I don't know how that could ever. Don't go there. Just say, yeah. And your head's going, no, you say, shut up. Anybody got something in your heart that doesn't look like it's possible? A way that God wants you to be living, a place you are to be financially, a place you can be. You can be in a place paying cash for something or something. Something's in your heart. Your spirit lets you know it doesn't have to be the way it is. It's going to be and can be totally different. Totally. And your head goes, they said there's no way. Just shut that all down and say, I know in here somehow. My head might not know all the answers yet, but shakalamane megalegeshto. And while you're praying in tongues, go listen to that service that was preached in 2017, and all of a sudden you'll have a flash and you'll remember the whole service. How do I find that? And you go on your computer, right there it is. Click. I just got my answer. I have been there. The teacher, he's on the job. He's teaching you spiritual things. He's teaching you to apply spiritual things and get the natural benefits out of it in the natural realm. Amen. And guess what? Remember Jesus said, whenever he comes, he'll not leave. I'll not leave you orphans. I quote the other translations. I don't remember. He's your advantage. Remember that? How's that say that? You know, you Bible scholars know. Anyway, but I'll not leave you helpless.
Yes, sir.
And basically it means the Holy Ghost is our advantage.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Then so if you listen to him, he'll put you in the advantage.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
He'll put you.
Yes, he will.
He'll be your edge in life. He'll be the reason you make it and others don't. We want everybody to succeed. Don't misunderstand me. So we're not, you know what I mean. But listen, if somebody else isn't going to follow and isn't going to listen, that doesn't mean I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to sit back in Boundville because somebody else is going to live in Boundville. And disobedience highway. You know what I'm talking about? Down on Grumble Alley, like Brother Hagin used to say. Broke, busted, disgusted, mad at everybody and offended and, you know, disobedient, out of church, out of fellowship with the body of Christ, out of the word.
Yep.
Well, that's your life.
That's right.
Doesn't mean I'm going to live that way.
Yep.
Bye, I'm going to church. Some of you need to hear that. Love you. I'll bring you an ice cream cone back home. But that ain't going to help your soul. You might not tell them all that, but anyway. Because the teacher will teach you not to say it like that. But. Amen. So it's his job, really, to teach. And he's doing that. He's on his job. But it's you and my job to make ourselves a good student and learn. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I don't think the body of Christ puts enough emphasis on learning. To a lot of people, it's about getting saved and being a Christian. And listen, if that's all you're going to get that. Please get that. But remember the illustration, you know, it's like when you buy a car, you can get the stripped down version or you can get one with all the bells and whistles.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I mean, a lot of Christians, they want the stripped down version of Christianity. Yeah. It doesn't have their version of Christianity. It doesn't have heated seats. It doesn't have power windows. I mean, you know, four wheels and an engine and a steering wheel is about all they got. And they'll roll into heaven all right. But man, what they could have enjoyed down here in this life. Doing everything the hard way. Don't have a horn. Roll down the window. Honk, honk. It doesn't have to be hard like that. I don't know what's in the air tonight, but it's fun. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yes. We need to put more emphasis on learning. Yes. Amen. Well, learning what? Well, he'll teach you everything, all things. The anointing teaches you all things. Does that mean all things? Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, there's a lot of things you could apply to that. You know, for example, he'll make you skillful in learning to walk with God. Let me just go through a few things. He'll make you skillful in walking with God and in fellowshipping with him. You know, a lot of Christians live, that's one of the areas that they're frustrated the most in is their fellowship with God. Because they don't sense him, they don't recognize when he's talking to them. And he'll teach you what it takes to fellowship with him. And a lot of Christians, I'll tell you what the issue is they don't quiet their minds. They're busy, busy, busy. Their minds are, until they get real, real quiet, they don't really realize how busy they are. And the Lord's not a mind. God's not a mind. Bible said God is a spirit.
Yes, that's right.
So that's the realm he's communicating in, and it's deeper than your mind. It's down out of your belly will flow. Remember that? It's down deeper.
Yes.
And you get quiet and you're like, ah, the things you start knowing. And the things that start coming up out of your spirit. So he'll teach you to quiet your mind. He'll teach you to fellowship with him. He'll teach you when you come to a question in life or a trial or a test, something like that. He'll teach you to dip into your spirit rather than reach up to your intellect and start going through the files of your mind. What do I do? Amen. Practice that before you get into tragedy. Because he'll teach you to live not being anxious, not being mentally busy and trying to figure everything out. Practice that before tragedy, because when tragedy comes, you're going to have a lot of skill to hold yourself in that place. Alarming symptoms, tragedy, circumstances that are alarming, they have a way of grabbing our minds and holding us in that realm of thinking. Holding us in that realm of figuring it out. Thinking about it. Well, if I do this, then...
Come on, sir.
Yeah. Amen. It's a bad spiritual habit. But he'll teach you not to do that. Oh, yeah. He'll teach you not to worry. He'll teach you not to be critical and judge everybody. I remember the square foot of pavement on the Rhema Bible Training Center campus between SDC 1 and SDC 2, right where the sidewalk, there's a sidewalk that goes through them both ways. Right where that sidewalk is, maybe, unless they've regraded it or something, there was a step stepping down there. And I'll never forget a minister ministering in one of the classes on judgment, being judgmental and not being, judge not that you be not judged. And I never forget it. I stepped down off of that step to go to my next class, and it dawned on me, they're not my servant. It doesn't matter what I think about their choices.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ooh, he's teaching me. He's teaching me.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. He'll teach you. And he continues to work with me on that. So he'll teach us all these things. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
He'll teach you to recognize him at work. Amen. How many of you know the reason you need to recognize him at work is because you need to cooperate with him when he's working?
Yes.
There's been times, I'm getting ready to say something to somebody because I sensed they're going to do something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be vague here. Well, I'll just say it. I don't know. I can't quite say it that way. I don't want to mislead people. But anyway, they're getting ready to do something, and I'm getting ready to say it, say that God wants them to do. And I'm getting ready to say something to cut them off because I don't want to sound selfish. They're getting ready to say they're going to do something for us. And I'm getting ready to cut them off, and it comes up right here, and the Holy Ghost goes, don't say that.
Come on.
What's he doing? He's teaching me to receive.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah. Have you ever had somebody really appreciate you and thank you and tell you, that really helped me, you did that, you said that, you whatever, and it's such a blessing, and you can't hardly take it, and you go, yeah, and you're a blessing too, and so forth and so on, and you grieve the Holy Ghost on the inside? Well, why was that grievous to him? He wants me to encourage people. What was grievous was you didn't receive what they were saying.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Right.
You were trying to deflect.
Yes.
You weren't receiving.
Yeah. Yes, that's good.
I used to do that all the time, and the Holy Ghost finally got through to me. Stop rejecting what they're saying.
Yes.
I said, well, Lord, I don't want to draw attention to myself. Yeah. He said, you don't have to draw attention to yourself. Draw attention to me. Say something like this. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't me, was it? It was him, wasn't it? Phew, I'm telling you, he'll teach you that. I just talked to somebody recently, and they said, man, the Lord taught me that. I'm like, because they were having trouble receiving. And I said something to them, and they go, oh, really? I do that. Oh, my goodness. I said, that's just lack of receiving.
Yeah.
That's why you're struggling in other areas, even in finances, because you don't receive.
All right, come on.
Anyway, he'll teach you to receive. Don't misunderstand me. He'll teach you to give too. But how many of you know he wants to give you a harvest off of what you give? And so when it comes, don't deflect and say, well, you really should. No, you know, and what can I do for you? And so forth and so on. Amen.
Yeah,
well, you can do whatever the Lord tells you to do, but at least receive.
Amen.
At least receive.
God was really focusing on giving with me for a long time, and so almost everything I got, I would give it away. And finally, the Lord said, "What are you doing?"
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I blessed you with that.
Yeah. Amen.
Sometimes it's, you got to ask the Lord, is this seed or is this feed?
Yes,
you know what
sir.
I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And sometimes it's seed. And anyway. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And so he said, you just don't receive. That's your problem. You don't receive. So I learned to do that too. And am learning. Because the teacher's teaching me. Thank God for the teacher. So remember Jesus said to Brother Hagin, if you learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. Now, a lot of folks have problems with that, but that's their problem. They're just not listening to the teacher. God's not opposed to his children being rich. He's opposed to them being covetous. Amen. So listen to those words. The words that used to stand out to me huge in that statement were I'll make you rich. Those used to stand out to me. Wow, he wants me rich, and I still get blessed by him. But as I've grown, the words that mean more to me in that statement than any of them are if you learn. If you learn. If you learn, oh Lord, I want to learn. I want to learn. It becomes a learning focus rather than a money focus. The big blessing in what he teaches you and guides you into is not the results. It's the knowing that you heard from him. It's like, I got it set for life in every area. If I can hear from him. And learn that it's not always a voice. Sometimes it's just a witness. In fact, most of the time, it's just a witness. Just a witness. Just a inner knowing. We've described the inner witness. It's an inner knowing. It's an inner perception. It's an inner peace. Remember, there's a lot of different ways you can describe it. And we're not talking about our head. We're talking about down in our spirits. If we learn. What will happen? He said, I'll make you rich. Somebody said, that's not religious. Thank God. Religion hasn't done you any good ever, any in your life. But it is the truth. Well, I don't know. That just sounds kind of, I don't know. Sounds kind of worldly. Well, just to me, it just sounds like 1 John 2:27. The anointing that you've received of him abides in you. If you need to, you need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things. Does he mean all things, or should we cut that word all? Just take a little pen and cross out that word all. Maybe it's all things but financial. If you're going to start in like that, where are you going to stop crossing things out? All things. You know what? He'll teach you to he'll make you rich. But then he'll also teach you, here's the big deal, he'll teach you his way of doing it, which is not covetousness. Amen. Which is not, he'll teach you to not be covetous. He'll teach you not to put financial things first, natural things first. That's part of him teaching you. He'll teach you spiritual things are before getting more money. Amen. That's what he's in there to do. But the problem is the education is so counter to the world and the way people had it figured out. You know, and the way everybody else says it is. There's so many things that the Spirit teaches us that's just totally opposite of the world. The world says get all you can all you get, sit on the can.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Not the word. But he'll teach you the word. He's not going to teach you the world. He's going to teach you the word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so that's why the education is slow so many times, is that what he's teaching just doesn't. It goes cross grains with the way people think it really is. What's important to God is not important to man. What's important to men is not important to God. There are times he'll say, spend the money or give the money, or, you know, in the sense of sometimes business deals going wrong, lose the money in order to keep peace and stay out of strife.
Yes, sir.
Well, I can't do that. I mean, like, see, they, you're not listening to the teacher.
That's right. Come on. Yes, sir.
To him, walking in love is more important than money.
Yes.
I've had to do it. You might have to do it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I don't mean hold it over their head every time you see them either. When forgiveness means to release a debt and cancel it as if it doesn't even exist anymore.
Amen.
And every time you see them, you're not thinking about it.
Yep.
You're not bringing it up. You're not thinking about it. It's just, it didn't even, in your mind, it's been canceled. As if it never happened.
Amen.
Well, I just can't do that. Okay, be a dumb then. And, the teacher will teach you to do that. Amen. I remember one time the Lord said, if you walk in love, at least your faith will work. That's the issue, having your faith work. I mean, take the money. Faith will get me the money back. I mean, faith will get me all that plus. It'll come on, when your faith is working. See, people don't value faith. They value money.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
They don't value, but faith is what brings it all in. Hallelujah. Lots of rabbit trails tonight, but at least somebody's getting something. If you learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. I'm not opposed to my children being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. So he'll train you in all those spiritual things, and he'll make you even more skillful. Now, you might have had a session, or how would I say it, a season in your life to where the Lord really emphasized something. Let's just take the love walk. He emphasized the love walk, emphasized the love walk, emphasized the love walk, and you really grew, and you learned many things during that time, and he was really focused on it. And then he might have started focusing and emphasizing something else, you know, how many of you have that happen? He'll emphasize things. But then you think, well, he's not talking to me about walking in love anymore. I must have got that down. Praise the Lord. Shoo, bop, bop. You go down the road a couple years, and he starts emphasizing walking in love again. You're going, I got that underlined. I don't remember underlining that. I forgot all about that. You know, you're reading that same book again. You got it all underlined and highlighted, notes off to the side, but you forgot that you even did it.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like Pastor Debbie's writing. That looks like my writing.
Come on.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Haven't been doing it, but it's pretty good. We thought we were a humdinger and found out we just a dinger. Oh my. I don't know who brought that into the air tonight, but it sure is fun. Hallelujah. He'll teach you to live free from fear and condemnation. Oh, that's a big one. Condemnation is a bad habit. And the Lord will break you of it. I mean, he'll learn you to get out of that. Hallelujah. He'll train you to talk right. You know, there's a lot of things you could talk about regarding that, but here's one. Stop talking about how hard everything is. Let's see if I remember that verse. My yoke is hard and my burden is heavy. Is that how it says it?
No,
my yoke is easy. My burden is light.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Examine your confession. What have you been saying?
Yeah.
It's just so hard. It's just everything's so hard. Just so hard to get ahead. Just so hard to. I just don't understand. It seems hard. I don't understand. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to listen to God. I don't know. It seems hard to walk with God. Hardness in our confession.
Yeah.
Or, I know one the Lord broke me of. Phew, man, this was a rough one. Anybody ever had a rough one? I was always saying, somebody say, how you doing? All been busy. Just been busy. I had busyness in my mouth all the time. And I was just living that way. I mean, I couldn't hardly sit still. He said, stop saying that. Stop saying that. Well, I am. Well, a lot of it is self-imposed. Did you make me say that? Why did I say that? You know what I'm talking about? We fill our time with stuff. Just because we don't know how to rest. We ought to do something. I'm not, but we ought to for five minutes. Everybody sit here and nobody say a word for 5 minutes. And see how hard it would be to shut down, you know, our minds and busyness. Some of us would start thinking, okay, when I get out of here, I got to go do this. I got to get groceries. I got to. How you doing? Busy. Just so busy.
Come on.
That's because our minds are busy.
Yeah.
Well, how about the teacher? How about we listen to the teacher more? Praise the Lord. He'll teach us to walk in unity with others. Have you ever been around somebody that has a habit of taking the opposite side of a discussion? It's a bad habit. I just shut down in those kinds of conversations. You can tell it's just a habit of being divisive, a habit of arguing.
Yes, come on.
It's like, it doesn't matter what I say, you're going to say the opposite.
Exactly.
So I just stop.
Yeah, same. Yes, sir.
Don't even talk.
Yep.
I mean, you're even scared to ask how the kids are doing because you'll say they're doing fine, they'll say they're not. You know, I'm just.
Seriously.
He'll teach you to not be like that, not be divisive, not be strifeful. It's a bad spiritual habit. The Bible says that believers seek unity and like-mindedness. Well, hallelujah. He'll teach you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. According to what? According to the measure of our faith. I've seen a lot of growth in this congregation that if someone's not there in faith, they don't try to act like it anymore.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Let's just take, what should we take? Buying a car.
Yeah.
It used to be that people would buy a $2,500 car and somebody would see it and they go, what, is that your car? Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's not very nice. People used to get that way, but they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
They'll say, yeah, the Lord blessed me with it.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
Yeah. That's growth.
Amen.
That's you are in line. You're thinking in line with your measure of faith and you didn't try to do something to keep up with the Joneses. You know what I mean? Or somebody else across the church, and that they weren't in faith, that you weren't in faith for, and so you're struggling to make payments, and you're beyond your measure, just to impress somebody. How many of you have ever found out that gets old? Just gets old. And I've seen a lot of growth in a lot of people here. They just, I mean, if it's not very nice, and yet, you know, God gave it to them or blessed them with it, or maybe they paid cash. I remember a guy came to me one time. I found out. I said, man, I heard you got a new car. He said, yeah, it's just not very much, you know, and so forth. And I said, and he said something about it. He paid cash for it. I said, whoa, that's beyond a lot of folk I know.
Amen.
That's staying within your measure and not taking condemnation because somebody else is at a place we're not.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, when it comes to stuff, I'm just rambling. I mean, I'm not, no, Lord, forgive me. That's a bad confession. I'm being led of the Spirit. But I'm
we need to
think clearly about natural things.
Yes.
Natural things are a blessing. God wants us to have them, but they're not first. And they're not to be, the Bible said, you know, there's a lot of exhortations in the Bible about he that's rich, charge them that are rich. Remember 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world, they be not high-minded.
Yes.
High-minded. Money is not something to be proud over or try to flaunt or try to impress people with. That is very displeasing to the Lord. You know, if when the rapture happens or, you know, the fire falls, whatever, and one person, believers, I'm talking about two believers, one person had more stuff than another, you know what that means? That means their pile of ashes is going to be bigger than yours. Revelation. In other words, there's coming a day, so what?
So what?
We ought, of course, to be there now. Not that we don't receive. But we give it away as soon as easy as we receive it. It's just stuff to us. And it's just, we're just free from it. It's not controlling our life. It's not making our decisions. It's not what we live for. It's not, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses and stuff like that. But my dad was a very successful farmer. He kept, he stayed up with technology, and that was one of the things he was, one of the reasons he was successful. But he always was growing the farm, always keeping up. And so, I mean, not with somebody else, but keeping up with technology, I mean. And it helped him to succeed and so forth. But I know there was a neighbor that we found out later from some other folks, we didn't even know it was happening, that if my dad got a new pickup, he had to get a new pickup. If my dad had this new piece of equipment, he had to get it. You know, just and the poor fella, bless his darling heart, went bankrupt or lost the place. I don't know what all happened. That's not what it's about. I said, that's not what it's about. Anybody getting free in here tonight?
Amen.
Because you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, glory. I don't know. I guess that's good enough for tonight. I sure didn't get very far in my notes, but we got some things said that the Lord wanted to say. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. The Lord will teach us all these things. There's a verse that says in the Taylor translation. I'll just, this is first, where is this? Jude, one chapter in Jude, verse 21. It says, keep yourself. Remember, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. You know, he'll teach you to do that. The Taylor translation says, stay always within the boundaries where the love of God can reach and bless you. Ooh, he'll teach you to stay in that place where all that he wants to shower on you, all that love wants to do for you, he'll teach you to stay right there.
Yeah.
Not jumping out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It includes teaching you to walk in love. It includes teaching you to guard this. Your mouth, what you're saying. It includes teaching you to think right. Amen. The Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. I was meditating on that one day, and it came up in my heart like this. Also, fear casts out love. Perfect love casts out fear. But fear is afraid to let somebody love you. I've seen people that were divorced be bound by fear to ever get married again because they were afraid to let somebody love them. Because they got hurt. The devil wasn't just trying to ruin a marriage. He's trying to get a seed planted in somebody to bind them for the rest of their lives. He'll teach you to not do that. He'll teach you to get rid of that. Hallelujah. Mr. Perfect hasn't shown up yet because of that right there. Or Miss Perfect or whatever.
Hallelujah.
He's teaching us. Said he's teaching us. Hallelujah. And we're becoming good students.
Yes.
Better and better all the time. I'm better than I used to be at following. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm better than I used to be. Hallelujah. I'm almost caught up to Sister Ann. She's just a little ahead of me. Stand with me to your feet. I want to challenge you to pay more attention to the guide on the inside. The Lord back when he started putting, whenever he said to me, I want you to, well, he said to me, because I asked him, what's in phase three? He talked to me about some things about phase two, and he talked to me about phase three. And I said, what's in phase three? I'm talking about the ministry. For those of you that are new, I'm talking about the phase of ministry that we're in. I said, what's in phase three? And to my utter shock, I mean, in all sincerity, I was not asking about what he said. He, to my utter surprise, he said the aircraft is in phase three. I was baffled. I was not in that frame of mind. It just, it was amazing. Anyway, so I started, I said, okay, well, that means it's time to, if we're walking into this phase, that means it's time to start getting some focused on this and faith and so forth. And I started getting focused on it, started getting focused on who the pilot would be. And the Lord said to me, he said, here's some things where you'll know who this person is, the pilot is, whenever they, this person is, has these characteristics. Mm-hmm. I've never told him this. Except tonight, I'm telling them. he talked about very, very, there's several things. I won't get into all of it, but several things about focused on, you know, real excellence and skill and not being lazy about, you know, all the checks and everything. Just, you know, how when you're flying and if something happens when you're flying, you can't pull the plane over to the side of the road. You got to do some other things. So he talked to me about excellence and so forth and diligence and focus and somebody who's able to really stay focused even when they're flying and so forth. He talked to me about several things. And then he dealt with me about this. And tonight, they're learning about themselves. Amen. He said they also emphasize big time the inner witness. Amen.
Amen.
And if you've been around Justin, you know Justin, the inner witness is huge with him. I can see him just throughout his day. He's checking, he's checking, he's looking. He's learning, he's developing that.
Yes, yes, amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I said, glory to God. And the Lord said to me, he said, because, you know, you're the minister and so forth, but the pilot's the pilot. He said, if the pilot ever comes to you and says, I don't have peace about, you know, trying to get around this storm or taking off right now because of whatever circumstances, conditions. He said, I'm telling you, the Lord said this to me. He said, I'm telling you right now, you give him that authority to say, we're not making this flight. We're not taking this flight. That wouldn't be true if somebody wasn't learning to follow the inner witness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. But see, they got things. I got the inner witness.
Yes, sir.
I might say we're not going sometime. Yeah. But see, that person's got to focus in on what they're called to do and learn to develop the inner witness in that area.
Amen.
Get good at it.
Yes.
Get good at it.
Yes.
Amen. So, praise the Lord. Whatever area God's called you to, you can develop real sharp, real good. If you're a mom and dad, you can be real sharp, paying attention to what's going on in your kids. They come home someday, and you look at them, you're like, oh, something ain't right. What is it? And so you start checking, and you just start talking to them and start pulling it out. And somebody said something that tried to get in. You know, are you a boy or are you a girl? Parents need to be able to, by the witness of the Spirit, nip that stuff in the bud.
Amen.
Children need to be raised in a home where the inner witness is followed. I got right with God because Emily Mahaffey, amen, was making her son's bed, praying in the Holy Ghost, singing, and the Holy Ghost said, reach between the mattresses. What is this?
Yep.
Walker Schurz, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
Emily Mahaffey Schurz, she had married again.
Yep.
Well, that's not mine. AC/DC recording.
Uh-huh.
I'm not proud of that, by the way.
Come on.
That's Jay Eberle's. Oh, thanks. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Eberle. I want to come to your farm, and I want to talk to you and have a meeting with you and Walker and your son Jay. Well, what's it about? Well, I found this, and I just thought you ought to know, and so forth. Yeah. She came there and sat at that living room or dining room table, and the love of God all over her. I melted and cried and repented. And I said, all the rest of them are in the basement above the drop ceiling. And it was wintertime. We burned probably 25.
Praise God.
Something like that. I'm guessing 25. Yeah.
Praise God.
Pieces of, you know, garbage. You know, they were little tape cassettes back then.
Yeah.
What were they? $10? I don't remember what they were. $5? I don't remember. But it didn't matter right then, because it's about getting right with God. Because the love on her, the love of God on her, and I got right with God, got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The call of the ministry came back, all because somebody followed the inner witness. Thank you, Jesus. Parents need to know, they need to know how to follow the inner witness. Save you a lot of heartache. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And anytime we say things that it grieves our spirit, we need to follow that.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, I mean, I don't have to repent. Well, go ahead and harden your heart and resist the Holy Ghost and get dull.
Come on.
So that the teacher, you can't hear the teacher very well anymore. It's dangerous.
Yes.
Telling you, in this day, it's dangerous.
Yes.
We're living in the last days. Perilous times. Perilous times. Thank God. We're learning. Don't ever grieve the Holy Ghost. Don't ever override your conscience. Even if you, somebody said, well, I really need to apologize to you. I said this. Sometimes I say, well, if I didn't hear it, I don't even want to hear it. You know, talk to people that you talk to. But sometimes they said something. So they'll come and I say, well, I forgive you. To me, it was nothing. But see, if it was a big deal to God in their hearts, then to them it was a big deal. It could save their life. Not because, you know, you speak against me, God's going to judge you. Not because of that. But because of you learn that you don't do anything to grieve the inner witness, because it'll dull you, and maybe another leading is life-saving.
Yeah.
You don't want to be dull whenever something that is... Life determining needs to be followed.
Yes, sir. Amen.